Call the House Committee on Judiciary to order. Today is May 8th, 2013. We're going to go out of order a little bit. The first thing we're going to do is open testimony on House Bill 835, which is the horse tripping bill for legislators first. Then we'll close the hearing temporarily, and we'll open a hearing on Senate Bill 463, and allow legislators to testify. Then we'll close that, and then we'll go back and have the horse tripping bill first for public testimony. I'd like to call Senator Hass, Representative Gomberg. Is Senator Hansel here as well? And if he's not, Senator Whitsitt, will you want to come on up and please?
Thank you, Chair Barker, and hello, committee. State Senator Mark Hass from the Beaverton area. Thank you for considering this legislation today. I think what you have before you is a product of the best the legislature can do in terms of bipartisanship and trying to deal with what some perceive as an urban-rural divide. My colleague who will join us here shortly is Senator Bill Hansel. I'm a Democrat. He's a Republican. He's from the dry east side. I'm from the wetter west side. And we both feel the same way about horse tripping, and we both feel the same way about rodeos. And what we have in this bill is, I think, a pretty good bill that tries to outlaw this very cruel practice, yet also presents what I think is fairly called a rodeo bill of rights, the first one of its kind if Oregon were to pass this. For those of you who don't know, horse tripping is the practice of roping the front or hind legs of a galloping horse, causing it to trip and come crashing to the ground for the purposes of entertainment or sport. It's done intentionally at fringe rodeos. Points are awarded for dropping the horse. And if you haven't seen photos or videos of this practice, yes, it's as bad as it sounds. 12 states have already outlawed horse tripping, including Texas, a state we often associate with rough and rugged cowboys. The Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association has also banned horse tripping. There's just no denying that roping a horse at its legs or neck, that it comes crashing down to the ground, is just shockingly cruel. I've passed out some written testimony and a photograph from the Oregonian that you can have. I won't read all of my testimony because I know how much you like that. So. Thank you, and happy to take questions.
Thank you, Senator. Representative?
Thank you to Chair Barker, members of the committee. David Gomberg from House District 10. I was a chief co-sponsor of the original bill that was introduced on the Senate side, and I'm happy to be here today to talk to you about 835, which I think is a straightforward bill, which contains two sections. Section 1 reaffirms our support of traditional Western rodeo. It's been referred to as the Rodeo Bill of Rights. This commitment's important to protect mainstream rodeo and also to make clear that other sections of the bill have no hidden or strategic agenda. The measure is not part of any slippery slope toward outlawing calf roping or steer roping or any other mainstream rodeo event. 835 has the support of the Pendleton Roundup and the East Oregonian Editorial Board. Now, Section 2 of the bill addresses the harmful practice of recreational horse tripping, which occurs all too frequently here in Oregon. The idea of purposely snaring the front legs of a running horse, forcing it to fall face first to the ground, sounds unbelievable. And doing so for entertainment seems barbaric. But make no mistake, horse tripping is alive and very well here in Oregon. I expect that you'll hear testimony later today that a number of small so-called big loop rodeos held in Jordan Valley, Paisley Burns, and Christmas Valley include tipping competition. And you'll also hear of smaller informal contests that take place regularly around the state, including Clackamas and Washington counties. Horses used in these events suffer broken legs, broken necks, rope burns, cuts, and abrasions. But just as important, many are so psychologically traumatized that they can never again bring themselves to trust people, meaning that they'll never be suitable for riding or companionship. So I want to stress several things about this bill. First of all, it deals only with tripping when done for recreation or entertainment. Nothing in this bill addresses ranch practices, animal control, or veterinary treatments. Second of all, I want to explain that the physics of roping horses is much different from roping cattle. Equines have a much different skeletal and leg structure, and they have a higher center of gravity than cattle, and the potential for serious injury is dramatically increased. And third, I want to point out that horse tripping is not sanctioned or approved by the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. Horse tripping is not featured in traditional Western rodeo events, and horse tripping is now banned for sport and entertainment in 12 other states, including Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Nebraska, all of which have a long and proud American rodeo tradition. And finally, I wanted to share an important footnote with all of you. I want to acknowledge that horse tripping is most frequently seen today within the larger context of charrette events. Anytime we begin to limit ethnic and cultural traditions, I believe that we need to tread very carefully. But like dogfighting and cockfighting, which have also been defended as ethnic or cultural traditions, I believe that the practice of recreational horse tripping calls out for an exception. I should also add that this very past weekend in my own community of Lincoln City, the Cinco de Mayo celebration included a spectacular exhibition of charro horsemanship. Horse tripping was not on the program, and it didn't need to be, and the show was still a great success. Horse tripping is an embarrassment and a disgrace to a state that prides itself on love of animals and strong animal protection laws. It's time to erase this cruelty from our state and to ensure that the proud tradition of mainstream rodeo is protected and preserved. The Senate's already approved this measure by a large margin, and I look forward to swift passage here in the House. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Senator.
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Senator Doug Whitsett. I represent all or most of five southern central Oregon counties. For the record, I do not represent Malheur County, where Jordan Valley is. And Mr. Chair, I wonder who in this hearing room, other than the folks from Jordan Valley, has ever really actually roped a horse? And I wonder who in this hearing room has ever actually personally seen a horse roped? And I wonder who in this hearing room has ever traveled to Jordan Valley, or I wonder who has ever seen a big loop roping contest? Yet, Mr. Chair, here we are today to debate whether to make participation in the Jordan Valley Big Loop Rodeo event a violation of Oregon law, a Class B misdemeanor. Make no mistake, that is the precise purpose of Senate Bill 835. It specifically targets that one rodeo event that represents the primary reason why folks go to Jordan Valley to compete and why people come to Jordan Valley to attend the rodeo. We have heard that Section 1 of this bill is designed to preserve rodeo in Oregon. I submit, Mr. Chair, participation in most rodeo events would be made a Class B misdemeanor simply by changing the word equine to the word livestock in Section 2 of this bill. One simple change. Just one word away from not preserving rodeo, but outlawing rodeo practices in Oregon. In my opinion, the primary purpose of this bill is to establish statutory language that can be altered or changed in the near future to do just that, to ban rodeo in Oregon. I've reached that conclusion because the bill, as currently written, is truly a solution in search of a problem. We have heard testimony that horses have a high center of gravity and that somehow they're more likely to tip over and fall hard due to their gravity. Well, that would probably be why, Mr. Chairman, that man has chosen to ride the horse as a preferred animal for millennia, perhaps because they have a high center of gravity and they're likely to tip over. Any person who has ever attempted to intentionally throw a horse off of its feet will attest to the absurdity of the allegation. It is very difficult to intentionally throw a horse off of its feet. As many of you know, I'm a veterinarian. I owned and operated a 5 veterinary and large animal practice in rural southern Oregon for nearly 30 years. I'm a past president of the local Cattlemen's Association, numerous horse breeding associations, as well as past president of the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association. Representative Whitsett and I have bred, trained, and marketed sport horses for more than 20 years. We've actually sold more than 250 horses over the years. Roping a horse by one or both front legs is an equine husbandry practice that is used very frequently in horse training. I prefer the practice over roping a horse around the neck, because when you rope around the horse, a horse around the neck alone, they almost always pull back until they choke and fall down. And when they get up, they do it again. An unbroken horse roped around the neck will often, you know, fall down, choke himself to unconsciousness several times. On the other hand, when roped around a front leg, the horse is a prey animal. It's fight or flight. If it can't run, you grab it by a front leg, that horse will pull a little bit and stop. You can't rope a horse by the hind legs. I mean, it's really like having a tiger by the tail to rope a horse by the hind legs. But if you rope a leg by the front leg, that horse will turn and face you, and a lot of times you can just hold gentle tension on a rope, walk up to the horse, even a wild horse, and reason with the horse, because you have him by the front leg and he can't get away. He's not fighting you because he's not choking. In nearly 30 years of veterinary practice, I have never seen a horse injured by roping it by a front leg. In nearly 30 years of veterinary practice, neither I nor my associates have ever treated a horse injured by roping it around a front leg. To my knowledge, no picture or video that has been circulated in this building by proponents of this bill has any remote connection to the Jordan Valley Big Loop Contest. The picture that was on the floor on the Senate when this bill passed was a horse standing on its head roped around a front leg. In Jordan Valley, the Big Loop Contest, you rope them around the neck first and then around the front legs, hold them and let them go. That would be impossible to happen in Jordan Valley. In fact, there appears to be a disingenuous attempt to encourage legislators to vote on emotion rather than fact on this issue. This bill is a solution in search of a problem. And much worse, it creates a huge financial problem for the rural town of Jordan Valley, Oregon. Much of their critical small town services are actually financed by revenue generated directly and indirectly by the Jordan Valley Rodeo. And the Big Loop Contest is what brings people to Jordan Valley. If you've never been to Jordan Valley, you can't go any further out without coming back. Senate Bill 865 is a classic example of the urban-rural divide, a divide where one segment of Oregon's people have no idea why something is being done, but have absolutely no hesitation whatsoever to vote it out of existence. Mr. Chair and committee members, I urge you to reject Senate Bill 835. In the alternative, I ask you to adopt the Dash 5 amendment that will at least serve to help preserve the Big Loop Contest in Jordan Valley. And thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts with you.
Thank you. Is there any questions for this panel? Thank you, panel.
Thank you.
Representative Benz, and is Jensen here?
No.
Amber, did you want to? Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Cliff Bentz, State Representative District 60, which, as most of you know, is Harney County, Malheur County, Grant County, Baker County, a part of Lake County. Jordan Valley is in my district. I'm happy that it's there because I'm basically from Jordan Valley. My family lived on a ranch, which was on the suburbs of Jordan Valley, about 80 miles away, which, believe it or not, is close for that part of the world. We went to church there every Sunday. Long drive. The folks from Jordan Valley are joining us here today, and I'm very happy for that. I grew up with many of them, and today appear before you to suggest that this bill be, I hope, voted down or left without a work session. I would just say, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that the practice that you had described to you is something that we don't do. We don't stack horses on their heads. That's something, given the nature of my family and my upbringing, you simply don't do. I have five little brothers. Three are still ranching across eastern Oregon. Collectively, they probably grow and raise somewhere between 100 and 200 head of horses. They have an annual Bentz horse sale where we sell 30 ranch horses. not quarter horses, but ranch horses. These horses are trained with extreme care. We put, my brothers and their children put hours and hours and hours into each of these horses. They use the most advanced means of training these horses, and the old term breaking a horse isn't even used anymore. That's not what you do. You're extremely careful with these animals because they're extremely valuable to us. The practice of the big loop is a reflection of what we still do out in the sagebrush of eastern Oregon. And the reason we still do it is because there's no other way to catch a horse when you're out 50 miles from the nearest place where you might be able to, what, give it a shot? The point is, when you're going to put a horse on the ground, you rope it by the head, and then you rope it by the front feet, it goes on the ground, and some poor person, it used to be me, would run over and sit on the horse's head and hold it down while you did whatever you're supposed to do. It is not a pleasant task, very dangerous, but many times necessary. This bill would prohibit a practice that reflects what we have to do every day. And we're not trying to hide what we have to do. That's what these exhibitions are for, is to reflect the real of the horse business. Not something we engage in just because it's fun. It's because it's necessary. The bill as written, by the way, when you have five younger brothers, most of them bigger than you, you find another job, and I did. I became a lawyer. That gives me some value when it comes to looking at that which you are considering today. And I would just say that the bill as crafted, as it came over to us from the Senate, contains language that simply won't work for all of us. And the reason I say that is because it has in it a phrase that could be read to apply outside of the exhibition area. And we can't have that. We can't have language floating about that would prevent us from doing our business. So I would suggest that if you do choose to give the bill a work session, if you do choose to adopt it, please amend it so it cannot possibly be read to prohibit a practice that's absolutely essential to what we do every day on our ranches. And I also would suggest that if you decide, and I hope you do not, but if you decide that you're going to adopt this bill, then I also would recommend the -5 amendments, because they do prohibit intentionally stripping a horse or stacking a horse on its head, which we, none of us want that. But the -5 amendments go on to allow the continuation of what we do in Jordan Valley and other small rodeos in a controlled and safe way. Members of the committee, I was tempted, as I prepared for this testimony, which I've been thinking about for the better part of a year, to reflect upon other practices that are accepted and, for whatever reason, don't draw this degree of attention. I don't think that's the right approach, so I won't share some of those with you. I'll simply say that it seems to me that if you're going to ban roping horses, you should ban all of it. Don't ever allow anybody to rope a horse, ever. That's not going to work. To manage horses, you have to rope them. It's so odd. When we were growing up, we were told to practice roping. We practiced it every day. I was never very good at it, but it wasn't for lack of practice. When I hear the word, go rope something, my mental image is the hours and hours and hours I spent roping fake cows and sawhorses and roping at Brandings and roping at every other place. It's so odd to have this practice, which we take for granted in our part of the state, to be held up to this degree of scrutiny. It's amazing, because it's absolutely essential in my part of the world. And you'll hear more about that, I'm sure, from others. So, Mr. Chair, it's my hope that you won't give this bill a work session, and that we'll be allowed to keep on doing what we're doing in the eastern part of the state, because it's consistent with what's necessary. If you do feel compelled, and you may, I have no idea what the ultimate outcome of this will be, please adopt the -5 amendments, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Representative Krieger?
The wild horses that are on the east side over there actually having an impact on the habitat and wildlife. Some of those are gathered up by, I don't know who by. Could you tell me how they gather them up and how they control them before they can do what they need to do before they adopt them out?
All right. Well, the gentleman and ladies behind me from the Jordan Valley and East Northern area far better to answer that question, Representative Krieger, Mr. Chair, Representative Krieger than I. I would just be basing what I know on my limited views of what went on, and most of what I watched was years ago. So I recommend that question to them.
Yes, please. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. You referenced briefly a portion of the original bill, or the bill that came over from the Senate, that might extend this preclusion to all of life in Eastern Oregon.
Right.
Can you point me to that?
Line 17 between the two commas.
Is that intentionally ropes or lassos the legs of an equine?
That's correct.
Gotcha.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is did Representative Jensen or Senator Hansel?
I'll have to use that phrase sometimes.
Autumn point, why don't you come up real quick, please?
Chair Barker, members of the committee, for the record, Autumn Wilburn, and I'm here today on behalf of Representative Val Hoyle, House District 14, Eugene. The Eugene Pro Rodeo is in her district and is an important economic driver in House District 14. Because I grew up on a ranch and competed in horse shows and rodeos all throughout my childhood and young adulthood, she tasked me with coming here today to talk to you about this bill. So I'm here today to testify in opposition to Senate Bill 835 as it's currently written. The language in the bill as it is written could put every rodeo in the state of Oregon in jeopardy. Section 2 of the bill fails to address some legitimate reasons that a horse may need to be roped around the legs. Rough stock events, for those of you not familiar with rodeo vernacular, bull riding, saddle bronc riding, bareback bronc riding, they require pickup men to be in the arena to help the cowboys get off those horses or the bull after their 8-second ride is up. And there are certain instances where a pickup man may need to legitimately rope a horse around his legs to get it safely out of the arena, to keep the cowboy safe that had just been riding that horse, or to keep the spectators safe. Sometimes rough stock jumps the arena fence and they need to be captured and returned to their rightful owners. Those bucking horses aren't going to just simply come if you call their name. They aren't trained like that. So without amendments, this bill goes too far, could have unintended consequences for one of the important economic drivers for rural parts of our state, rodeo. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Amber? Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Yeah. We will close the temporarily close the hearing on Senate Bill 835 and open a temporary Senate Bill 463A. Representative Fredericks, just come on up. And I don't see. There she is. Looks like you're alone.
Yes, so. Okay. I thought Senator Shields was going to be here as well. Well, thank you. Thank you again, Chair and members of the committee. I am Representative Lou Frederick from North and Northeast Portland, District 43. I'm here in support of 463A, which I've supported for some time, quite frankly. The short reason is that we should always have our eyes open when we enact new laws. Disparate impact is a serious consideration in minority communities, and analysis rather than folklore can better inform us. Believe me, stories of disparate treatment abound around dinner tables and especially holiday tables. Some of them may become embellished over time, but they all got started, in fact. Probably the most obvious example of a law with disparate effect was the National War on Drugs treatment of crack cocaine as differentiated from powdered cocaine. The differences in incarceration for possession, even for those dealing these two drugs, were egregious, and are now only in the process of being reconciled. Now, I'm not arguing that either one of these should not have been a crime. I am arguing that there is and there never was a good reason to treat them differently. And the difference came down hard on communities of color across the country. This bill is about heading off that kind of treatment in the future in Oregon. As Senator Shields will probably note, and you'll see in some of the testimony, this bill also includes a provision to include an analysis of potential impact on victims as well as offenders. Thank you, very briefly, for working on this bill. I urge you to pass it on to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Are there questions? Representative, I have one. Somebody, there are people who have proposed some amendments, and one of them was to have more than just one person ask for a racial impact statement, and possibly even saying maybe two from each caucus. so that somebody who might want to throw a monkey wrench into the system couldn't just, for example, say, I need a racial impact statement on horse cripping or whatever.
I understand what you're saying, and I'd like to talk with Senator Shields about that. I personally, right now, I have no problems with having more than one person, having something set up so that there's more than one person doing that, because the monkey wrench scenario is certainly something that's possible.
We're not going to be moving it today, so we'll have time to talk about it.
Good deal. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Representative, for your testimony. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 463-8, and we will go back to Senate Bill 835. And I'll have to ask and remind people, as we call you to testify, that we need you to really keep it brief because we have a lot of people that would like to testify. So we'll have Carl Collum and Toby De La Torre, I think it is. Okay, so we'll just have them first. Okay. Come on up and please testify in any order you like, but remember to identify yourself by name for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Toby De La Torre. I represent the Charro community and some of the Mexican-American community in Oregon and throughout the United States. I just want to make it very, very clear that the official Charro organization is nationwide. We're active in 13 states with thousands of members, and we participate in very large arenas, and it's a very well-sanctioned event where all rodeo derived from of the different roping events that go on and have evolved and changed as time goes on. My biggest concern is that throughout I've been hearing that we don't want to end rodeo and that we want to stop tripping. I think everybody in this room is in agreement that there's room for adjustment, there's room for improvement in some of the sports that we do. But to eliminate the roping of the legs, first of all, would be very discriminatory if you single out the front legs or the back legs. All of that will not make any sense because it will automatically raise a discriminatory complaint on our behalf, because in the Mexican rodeo, we do rope the back legs. And there's a lot of rules of how we do it. It's a low tensile strength rope. It snaps, you know, before injury happens. And it would just open up a can of worms if, you know, if we're going to rope legs, let's rope legs reasonably. If we're not, then we're not. And that would end the folks in Jordan Valley, our organization, and everybody. When there's room for adjustment and there's room for improvement, we could save rodeo like some of the claims have been. But if we're going to pinpoint certain things, we're going to end rodeo because automatically any charro in Oregon would no longer be able to compete nationally in the other 13 states. And we do have a video that shows how we do our event. And I do want to make it perfectly clear that there has not been one image, not one image of a charro roping event in this whole deal. But it does concern me because it would be a slippery slope, and it would cause the end of the Jordan Valley folks that the mayor spoke last time I was here. It's a vital event for them, just as ours is. And it would definitely end it. So I'm just so concerned about the fact that, do we want to end horse tripping or do we want to end rodeo? There's room for improvement on all of our practices, and I wish that we could go with that. Us personally would approve of this bill with the second amendment, the one that does not distinguish front or back legs. One of the things that I wanted to remind everybody, rough stock is different. They're not, the horses that we use in our roping events, many times are horses that they have been, you know, they're kickers or they're flippers. They're not useful anymore as companion animals, but we appreciate them. But you know what? They do have a second opportunity and they're active. And we have horses as much as 12 years actively living in corrals and trailering and traveling with us. This is our version of roping. 15 years ago, we had to adjust our rules, and we do not trip the horse anymore. We demonstrate that we caught the horse by the front legs, and that's it. It's over. It diminished our event a whole lot, but eliminated the tripping portion of it. The charro demonstrates his skills, you know, all that kind of stuff, the timing, but he never, ever pulls it. And the only video footage that we ever had in like 12 years, it was an event in Winnemucca, and it was proven that it was an accidental. The Senator Ford stood up and said, that was accidental, and we understand that. None of us here deny that injuries are possible. Anytime we use animals, livestock, rough stock, there's a chance of an injury. We don't say that there isn't. But the thing is, to make it criminal and to end the Jordan Valley fellas' deals and ours, it's just not, I don't think it's reasonable. And that pretty much is my concern with the bill. But like I said, it would absolutely, the roping of the legs, there's three events, and the roping of the neck, there's three events that involve this. In our rodeos, there's 9 different events, but we couldn't sustain our rodeos anymore without the participation of the horses, because we'd be out 3 or 4 members, and we couldn't collect the money together to have, you know, because, for example, we'll be reduced to parade participation in ballet folklorico. That's not what we're about. We're about ranch life. Horses were used against their will, if you will, involuntarily, if you will, for the post office, for military, for all kinds of our service. We don't ask them for permission to benefit human life. We need them. They help support us. But I think that the catch here is reasonable roping and reasonable use of the animals.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Please.
My name is Carl Cullham, and I am here representing the Pendleton Roundup Board of Directors. I am on the board, and I am the secretary of the Board of Directors. And I have provided you with a statement dated May 6th, 2013, that is the Pendleton Roundup statement on Oregon Senate Bill 835. And if I may, I'd like to read it, because there has been testimony this afternoon already that seems to contradict the true position of the Pendleton Roundup. Oregon Senate Bill 835 has come to the attention of the Pendleton Roundup Association. Our volunteers annually host nearly 50,000 guests with an estimated $40 to $50 million economic impact. Celebrating 103 years of Western tradition, not many state events have developed more truly recognizable icons for Oregon than our authentic presentation of cowboys and Indians. Year-round, we celebrate a vibrant horse culture, and animal wellness is very important to us. We appreciate Senator Bill Hansel's language to protect our historic Western heritage by affirming the right to conduct rodeos in Oregon and documenting that right with this legislation. The Pendleton Roundup has never participated in horse tripping, which seems to be the focus of this bill. However, the additional language, quote, or intentionally ropes or lassos the legs of an equine, close quote, goes far beyond tripping by prohibiting the simple act of roping a horse's legs. We believe prohibiting the roping of a horse's legs should not be criminalized, and we support an amendment to strike that language from this bill. And it's signed by our president, Tim Hawkins.
Thank you very much. Is there any other? Yes, okay. Thank you for your, I'm sorry, please.
Sir, are you supportive of the same amendment that Senator Whitsitt talked about, the Dash 5 amendment?
Quite honestly, Representative, I haven't seen the Dash 5. I have Dash 7 in front of me, and I, without conversing with our board, I believe Dash 7 more meets our preferred language of the bill.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I haven't seen any of those amendments, but from listening to you, are you saying that in line 17, the words you would like out of the bill are intentionally ropes or lassos the legs of an equine?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for your testimony. I'm going to temporarily. Oh, no, I'll call Representative Jensen, please. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. Thank you for your work here and for all the bills that you see in process. I appreciate the opportunity and the privilege of being able to come before you in relationship to Senate Bill 835. And I'm here in support of the Dash 7 amendments, which were mentioned just a minute ago. The Dash 7 amendments were amendments that I took to the Legislative Council to have drawn up. And this came after long and substantial discussions and some disagreements with, some people. I'm not sure that anything is, when we get to controversial issues, that anything ever is a quote-unquote perfect bill, but as you've heard, from the Pendleton Roundup Association just a minute ago, this bill does, they feel, satisfy the needs of the rodeo situation. We believe also that it protects the Jordan Valley, rodeo, so long as they, subscribe to and live up to the provisions. I'm merely here as an emissary, I guess, for Senator Hansel, and hoping that you look with favor on Senate Bill 835 and the Dash 7 amendments. And I will conclude with that and be happy to answer any questions that you might have or try to.
Okay, thank you, Representative. Garrett has a question.
Have you also seen the Dash 5 amendments?
That's correct. I have, Representative Garrett.
You just, we've had Mr. some Chair, testimony for the Dash 5 and now for the Dash 7. So can you just, they're similar, but not identical. So can you help us understand why, what the difference is?
Thank you for the question, Representative Garrett. I think the reason is, I hope the reason is simplicity. I think the Dash 7 amendments are, cut to the chase quickly and simply, and are maybe a little better in that regard than it is with too much other language in there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative.
Appreciate Thank you very much.
We'll briefly close this hearing again and reopen Senate Bill 463 and ask Senator Shields and Winters, please. Come on up. I didn't see you there. I'm sorry, Representative.
Okay.
I looked for you earlier and didn't see you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Chip Shields. I represent North and Northeast Portland in the Oregon State Senate, District 22. The bill before you, Senate Bill 463, gained broad bipartisan support in the Senate and passed on a 27-2 vote. It's also noteworthy that it passed out of the Senate Judiciary Committee with a unanimous vote, including the votes of Senator Cruz and Senator Close. And essentially, I view this as a common sense piece of legislation that would require, upon request of a legislator, a racial impact statement on proposed child welfare legislation and sentencing legislation to include racial impact not only on the offender population, and this is very important, not only on the offender population, but also thanks to an amendment that was offered by the District Attorneys Association that we accepted, also the racial impact on victims of crime. Similar racial impact statement legislation is currently in use in Iowa, Maine, and Minnesota, and I believe in Connecticut by their Criminal Justice Commission. But if this bill passes, this could set the precedent for the rest of the country, because Oregon would be the first that would include racial impact statement legislation, not just for the perpetrators and the offenders in the criminal population, but also for the victims of crime. And I think this could really be groundbreaking and be very, very good piece of legislation, so that when legislators are looking at something, they can take into account how this might affect minority overrepresentation in child welfare and prison populations. But also, I think we need to make sure that legislators are aware that minority populations are disproportionately victimized by criminals as well. And this legislation will bring that information to us. I think all this does is give us more information about the bills that we are passing. We can still choose, if we feel like the public interest necessitates it, still pass the bill. This would just allow that information to come before the legislators. We've worked on it for 6 years, and I think that it's ready to go. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator, please.
Thank you, Chair Barker. For the record, I'm State Senator Jackie Winters. I represent District 10, and I'm here as in support of Senate Bill 463. Particularly, you know, I've had a huge interest, as those of you who know, in this whole disproportionate representation, both in our child welfare system as well as our criminal justice system. And when the good senator, actually he's been working on this for I think about 6 years or more, when he presented the concepts of what they were doing in Iowa and actually had brought the representative who was responsible for that legislation back several years ago, I told him I would actually work with him to help him bring forth legislation here in Oregon. There's so much, and as he said, it's not just the offender, but we also, the victim also needs to be, and we need to know what exists there. It's kind of interesting that people of color are victimized too. And I think we need to keep that in mind as well. So I'm here to support my good senator from Northeast Portland, and think that it's time that we actually get a real good snapshot of what is in Oregon.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Chair Barker, and committee. Thank you for the opportunity to come and to speak to you about this bill. For the record, my name is Joe Gallegos. I am the representative from House District 30, Hillsborough. I just want to, again, most of the things have been said already about this bill that I want to support, but I also want to sort of draw attention to the notion that as stewards of the state budgets and the citizenship safety and so on, just recognizing how demographics have been changing in this state considerably, and how that this bill will really help us bring us into the next century, into the 21st century, and really, I think, make us much more responsive to these demographic changes. So for that reason, I'm very supportive of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, Representative Williamson?
Earlier, our chair mentioned that there may be some amendments or thoughts about whether or not we need to have additional, whether we need to have two people from each chamber, or I don't know what, I haven't seen the amendments. So just the idea that more people would have to be on the requester list, more legislators, as opposed to just one. And I'm wondering if what the panel thinks of an amendment like that.
Well, you know, what the House does is up to the House, and so I wouldn't want to presume that. I think that we have
never heard a senator say that before.
We've worked this bill for 6 years. A lot of the original language were from amendments from previous years. I think Senator Winters and I both feel that the bill is fully baked, and we're here in support of the bill as is.
Thank you,
I wanted to commend you. Yesterday, you achieved what I haven't achieved in 13 years. you were referred to as a very handsome man on the House floor.
That was a mistake, I'm sure.
Okay. Any further questions? Thank you very much for taking the time to come over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Appreciate it. Okay. Close the hearing on Senate Bill 463A and reopen Senate Bill 835. Okay, and so, and we're going to try to get people up here who've had to come a long way first. We appreciate the fact that you travel clear down here to be with us. Mayor Jake Rowe, Sheriff Brian Wolf, and Arlo Crutcher.
Which one are we on?
The horse. And the next people up I'll give, in case they're downstairs and need to get ready, would be Kenneth Sam Jr., Dr. Doug Corey, and Bob Skinner will be the next panel we have up. So please go ahead and just introduce yourself by name for the record. Thank you.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, I am Jake Rowe, mayor from Jordan Valley, Oregon. I've been the mayor there for the last 15 years. I'm a vice chairman on the school board. I'm a volunteer fire department member and a small business owner. I ask that you oppose Senate Bill 835, as it is a causeless bill that would have devastating effects on the economy of our community. I don't know if you guys know, but the Big Loop event is a very unique event that draws about 6,000 to 7,000 people or 5,000 to 6,000 people to our remote community every year. And not having this event at our rodeo would greatly affect the attendance and drastically reduce the attendance at our rodeo and reduce the revenue and likely close down the rodeo altogether. The economy of Jordan Valley is based on ranching, mining, and a handful of small businesses. The Big Loop Rodeo brings money in from outside of our community, which helps keep our local economy healthy. A variety of organizations and businesses in the area benefit from money brought in by this rodeo. The volunteer fire department rents out the city park to about 100 different vendors that come from all over the United States and all over the world to come and to sell handmade goods that people use in ranch life every day and artwork that you just won't find in stores. That fundraiser brings in about $10,000 for the fire department. It's 100% of our fundraising for the year. In addition, the Booster Club holds a dinner. They raise about $5,000 at this dinner that funds the athletic and academic programs at the school. The local Lions Club, they host a dance at the high school gym. It helps them to keep their doors open throughout the year. It's a building that we use as a community center there in town. Also, the Catholic Church, they host a breakfast on Sunday morning where they bring in fundraising that helps them keep the parish hall open throughout the year and the church. The local service agencies like the Jordan Valley EMTs, the volunteer staffs, covers over 7,000 square miles of ground. And that kind of explains how remote Jordan Valley is. It's not, when we go to buy groceries, we don't go to the local store. We drive about 65 miles. That's very similar for you guys taking off from here in Salem and going to Portland to buy your milk and eggs and bread. They have the fundraiser that they do, they have a barn, like it's called, it's a blue barn at the rodeo grounds that they sell hamburgers and hot dogs. They make money that they help pay for their training and supplies. The Sheriff's Posse also sells food at the park. They raise money that they use for search and rescue. This search and rescue is an important service that has helped lost motorists, hunters, and hikers in our remote area. Young people in the community benefit as well. We have 4-H kids that sell programs at the rodeo that they use that kind of money to go to the fair. In Jordan Valley, when you go to the fair, you got to drive about 100 and some miles to go to a fair. Usually you have to stay there for a week. You can't leave your animals unattended, so you have to basically leave home and go quite a ways away. They need money for that, and that's one of the places they get money. The FFA kids raise nearly $12,000 by selling concessions at the Red Barn. They use that kind of money to pay for many field trips, to cover graduation, and to cover other school events that are very important for the school experience. Finally, local restaurants, the RV park, motels, the gas station, they all benefit greatly from this, what we would consider the largest weekend of the year. Malheur County is one of the poorest counties in the state of Oregon. Jordan Valley is in the most remote part of this county with very few opportunities to bring in extra dollars. The rodeo provides critical economic resource along with an event which celebrates our way of life. This kind of pointless legislation has far-reaching, unintentional consequences which will hurt the community and our county. I am a mechanic by profession, and what I know is fixing things, and you as representatives of the public also have the ability to fix things too. You can oppose this causeless bill full of unintended consequences and help maintain the economic health of the entire community. We do ask that you vote no on Senate Bill 835.
Thank you, Mayor. And I ask, if you remember, we have a lot of people today, so you keep remarks. A few minutes would be great. Yeah,
can I ask a quick question? Thank you. Mayor, so it sounds like this brings a lot of economic benefits to your whole community. And you said that if there were not this event, if that weren't allowed, that people would not come to this event. So we saw a little bit of a movie. It wasn't clear to me. What do people come to see when they see horse roping?
Chair Barker, Representative, told me, The movie that was showed has nothing to do with Jordan Valley Rodeo. It's a separate event. The Big Loop event at the Jordan Valley's Rodeo is a very unique event. I was explaining how remote we are and how far away we are. If you have a rodeo here in Salem.
But about the event, why do people come to see that?
The people come to see the event because of how difficult it is. There's some other people that are going to explain that. They're more in that. They're actual rodeo board members that know a lot more about that. But it's just it's a very unique roping event that is difficult and has a very low catch rate. And it's very unique. And they'll help you more with that.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Please.
Chairman Barker, committee members, my name is Brian Wolf, Sheriff of Malheur County. I want to thank you for allowing me a few minutes of your time. I also want to acknowledge you for your great service to this great state and the people that live here. It is my hope that you can understand why we are here and why we oppose Senate Bill 835. I have a great appreciation for livestock and animals. Every member of my family, which includes my wife and four children, each own at least one horse. I believe that we probably spend more on our horses every year than some people spend on their kids. My point there is that I would not be opposing Senate Bill 835 if I believed that in any way it was detrimental to the welfare of these horses that are being roped. As I have stated, I am the elected sheriff of Malheur County. I work in a business that we have to work until we find the facts. And we work off of factual information, which we react accordingly to. Much of the information being provided by those in favor of Senate Bill 835 is not factual information. One example, last June of 2012, I received a letter and then shortly after a phone call from a person who was opposing the Jordan Valley horse roping. They referred me to a video posted on YouTube where a horse had broken its leg. Well, I later found out that particular horse, his leg was not broken during the Big Loop roping competition. That horse had not even been roped. The Malheur County Sheriff's Office takes animal abuse and neglect very seriously. We have investigated cases involving horses, cattle, pigs, sheep, goats, chickens, cats, dogs, and even birds. Our cases include single animal incidences. One case, we were forced to seize 42 horses, and the most extreme, we seized 562 dogs. So we take neglect and abuse of animals very serious. I can tell you that horse roping is not abusive nor neglectful. It is hard for people to realize animals used in the production of rodeos are truly animal athletes. That's what they are. They are fed well and they're provided with all the needed medical care. They perform for a very short period of time when they do perform. Similar to an injured human athlete, if an animal athlete is injured, immediate medical care is administered to the animal by a veterinarian. Horse roping is challenging. In the Jordan Valley Big Loop competition, less than 10% of the horses are actually caught. So 90% of these horses actually beat the competitors. Competitive horse roping is monitored by a professional judge who qualifies a competitor if mistreating an animal. Competitors have a time limit and a limited number of attempts that they can try to rope the horse. Roping a horse has long been the most efficient practice, which you've already heard, for ranchers and horse owners to handle and control horses for castration and medical attention. It has been said that there is no fiscal impact to Senate Bill 835. The question is, if there's no fiscal impact, who is going to enforce and prosecute these laws. I can tell you that there will be a negative financial impact. Has anyone thought about the financial impact that this bill would cost our already fiscal-strapped county? Senate Bill 835, if passed, will have a negative effect on the custom and culture of Eastern Oregon. The custom and culture associated with the agriculture and livestock production in Malheur County is significant to the economic stability and livelihood and well-being of its citizens and protection and use. Sorry about that. And use of our environment. Please understand Malheur County is an economically challenged county. Senate Bill 835 will also have a negative effect on our custom, culture, and economy. Lastly, at the end of the day, this really comes down to the well-being and welfare of horses and animals. We do care for these animals. We will not tolerate the abuse or mistreatment or neglect of horses. Horse roping is safe, and it is a responsible event. I'd answer any questions that you would have at the appropriate time.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
So,
yeah.
Good afternoon, Chairman Barker and committee. My name is Arlo Crutcher. I'm a tribal council member of the Fort McDermott Paiute Shoshone tribes of Nevada and Oregon. And I'm a rancher, and I have four children and wife, and I grew up, I'd like to explain that, I grew up around horses, livestock all my life. It was handed down from generations. We raised horses and we handled horses all the time, and we were taught by my father, brothers, and then on up grandfathers and so on, and it's pretty much a rule that we were taught all along is, you know, not to hurt our livestock. So we don't. You take care of your livestock. Even the horses you're riding, if you think you're going to go and hurt an animal by roping it the way you do, you're hurting the horse that you're riding on also. And that's one thing that I know today, 20, 30, 50 years ago, people, they cared for their livestock. So when there are horses that they rode, it's like today going to a rodeo. You take your top mount. You're not going to put that horse in any harm's way by doing something to hurt another animal to harm the horse that you're riding. A lot of the things that I grew up being taught, I guess the way people define inhumane, I was probably treated more inhumanely than our livestock were, you know, because that was the rule of it. We were raised in a strict way, and we were taught to tend to livestock since we were young kids. And even today, I teach my children the same thing. And one thing I do is that to be able to keep my children safe, and I'm sure every one of you committee members have children, and you look out for the benefit and the welfare of your children. And so do I, in the same way as tending to livestock, teaching them to rope horses. I have two sons and two daughters, and the two sons do rope horses. My little daughters, they're going to learn the same thing too, because they rope cattle too. So for me to take care of my children, I have to teach them a safe way to handle livestock. And I'm not going to put my children in harm's way. I see people at rodeos anymore. They do it the same way, because they're not going to put their horses that they're riding at any risk. They're not going to hurt the animals that they're open. I go to the Jordan Valley Rodeo. I've participated there. And a lot of people, the way I kind of look at horse roping, that it's an art. It's not just going out there and roping something. You're handling a horse. When you rope a horse, you slow them down, you handle them, because if you don't handle them properly for your four-footer, you're not going to, you know, you're not going to win anything. So you have to take care of it. And thank you. Handling the horse, what I mean by handling a horse, the way I talk about handling a horse, when you lay them down, that's why you have a slick saddle horn. So you're not damaging a horse. You're not flopping them down really hard. You have control. You, like I said, a lot of the times when you're growing up, you're taught that. You're taught to lay a horse down nice and easy. You're taught to not put any pressure on the horse that you're riding. Otherwise, you're not going to have another horse. Just like a person, for instance, like a person in your vehicle. Are you going to run your nice Corvette or something up in the mountain and tear it up? No, you're not. That's the same thing with a person's horse that you're taking to that you have pride in. And a lot of cowboys have pride in all of their animals, their cattle, their horses, everything.
Thank you. And I just would say about the car, one time I made a wrong turn up at Steen's Mountains and I brought my Chrysler 300 down that back road. It took me a long time, and luckily I still had the oil pan when I hit the bottom. Then a good friend of mine from who lived over there, grew up over there. I'm a city guy. I don't know much about horses, but Paul Aratola, one time I was with him, and he had a wild horse, which he quickly walked up to, got it under control with no problems, all calmed it down. It was amazing to me. You know, being
he was a very big man. He could probably handle it. Yeah.
He was a big man. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony.
Questions? Anybody have a question?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next we'll call Ken Sam Jr., Doug Corey, and Bob Skinner, please. And we're going to try to get everybody that came from a long way through. In case we run out of time today, we may have to carry some people over, but those who have traveled a long way, we want to get you up. Please go ahead, and if possible, if you keep it short so everybody gets a chance, appreciate it. Thank you. Just go ahead and introduce yourself for the record. And
okay. Chairman Barker and committee members, my name is Dr. Douglas Corey. I'm a practicing equine veterinarian, have been for 37 years. I'm from Pendleton, Oregon. I'm a past president of the American Association of Equine Practitioners, a member organization of 10,000 members worldwide. I'm also past president of the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association and past chairman of the AVMA, American Veterinary Medical Association, Animal Welfare Committee. I'm here today on behalf of the PRCA. I have been a veterinarian for the PRCA for 32 years on a volunteer basis, and I'm chairman of their Livestock Welfare Committee at this time. First, I'd like to correct Senator Haas. The PRCA has never banned horse stripping. We don't have it as an event, so we've never banned it. He mentioned that, and before I forget that, I need to get that on the record. Please register our concern concerning Senate Bill 835. The Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association and its 6,000 members consider the care and handling of rodeo livestock our top priority. We have over 60 rules that are in place to provide for the care of the livestock, and veterinarians are required at all events. While the PRCA does not have a position on horse stripping, as it has never been held in our sanctioned rodeos, we do have a concern about the language that would prohibit the roping of the horse's leg. We do not feel that simply roping the legs of a horse is an act that should be banned. While this legislation seemed aimed at equine tripping, the language, or intentionally ropes or lassos the legs of an equine, seems to go much further. If used correctly and with proper skill and technique, ropes don't injure animals. It's that simple. Historically, the PRCA rodeos have successfully self-policed ourselves. We've created and enforced our rules and guidelines to protect the health and welfare of our animal athletes. I sincerely believe this legislation may have unintended consequences in the future and with other events. This legislation is not necessary in Oregon. In Oregon, we already have anti-cruelty laws on the statutes, and I encourage you just to enforce those. The PRCA does appreciate Senator Hansel's efforts in protecting the celebrations of Oregon's Western heritage with the language that confirms the right to compete and conduct rodeos in the state. I guess I would consider if you do adopt this, consider an amendment. I'd like you to support an amendment that strikes the language that would ban the roping of the legs of a horse, and I guess that would be -7 amendment, which you have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Please.
Chairman Barker and members of the Judiciary Committee, my name is Bob Skinner, and I'm going to try to shorten my testimony up as much as I can here. I've scribbled through it. I'm a fifth-generation rancher from as far from here as you can get and still call Oregon home. Jordan Valley. And Jordan Valley is a word that I'm sure you don't hear much over here. We feel like we've been called the forgotten corner of Oregon for a reason. Jordan Valley doesn't have many ties with Salem. In fact, to tell you the truth, we've got more ties with Idaho. And the problem is that our people feel alienated. They feel forgotten, and it's a very bad situation. And I'm here to speak against 835 because I feel like this bill is a horse-tripping bill, is deliberately designed to be misleading. No question about it. The event, which I have grown up with, does not trip horses. That was skillfully used to mislead people into believing what happens. If I were to not know what's going on in Jordan Valley and other rodeos that have horse roping, and I were to see the highly edited videos and that have been on YouTube and that we've gotten our hands on, I'll admit, I'd probably vote for 835. But I tell you that is not the truth. Not only that, they're misrepresentative, and I would be happy to answer that if anyone wants to ask me why they've been misrepresenting. Horse roping is not designed specifically to take a horse's feet out from under them. Now, I will admit that it does happen occasionally, but you know, we went through the Jordan Valley Rodeo last year with no injuries to roping horses. And I tell you, as past president of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association, having the opportunity across the state from corner to corner and back and forth across this great state, one of the biggest challenges I faced was the urban-rural, and in our case, the east-west divide. And it's something that the governor has said is a big problem. I will guarantee you, as having been past president of the Oregon Cattlemen's, it is a big problem. If 835 passes, it's going to do nothing but drive a wedge in this state right down the Cascades again. There's no trust left on the east side, and I'm not saying that in a vicious way. I just hate to see anything else happen to this state that's going to divide it any worse than it already is. People don't understand our culture, and in fact, we have people out there that are totally willing to cultivate that mistrust. They're extremists that don't understand. In fact, and worse than that, they spend countless hours and resources trying to change our way of life and our livelihoods. Now with tools like Facebook and email and others so easy to spread their agenda instantly to millions of people, viewing these extremely edited videos and other things that I'm talking about are extremely easy and extremely efficient, and they've been very good at it. Make no mistake about it. You need to realize that the rodeo board takes every precaution to protect their animals. Now, I want to tell you that I heard it asked earlier that what makes this event so special? Horses are powerful athletes. That's simple. And athletes get hurt. And it happens, and nobody will deny that. It's unfortunate, but athletes get hurt. Football players, basketball players, horses, everything else gets hurt. We try to minimize that. Our facilities are continuously upgraded. If we see a problem, we address it. And we'll continue to address it. I think for now, I would just like to say and to answer your question about what makes the signature event for the Jordan Valley Rodeo, which Jordan Valley seems to be singled out on this, is the speed. A horse, the thrill of a horse, watching a horse hit their afterburner coming around the arena is really pretty. And watching the cowboys try to catch him, which they can't catch him. They're at a disadvantage to start with. The horses they have the advantage. And as it's been stated earlier, very few catch. And very few get hurt. So I'm going to end my testimony there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Please.
Good afternoon, Chairman Barker, representatives. My name is Ken Sam Jr., and I am from the Fort McDermott Paiute Shoshone Tribes of McDermott and Oregon. And I'm here, and I'm speaking against the Senate Bill 835. You know, in all my years of roping horses and participating in the events, you know, it's a tradition, it's a heritage that was passed on from my grandfathers, my uncles. You know, we were taught to respect these animals, handle them with care. You know, and the videos that I've seen on YouTube are very misleading. You know, it's easy to go in and edit the videos and show somebody, this is what happens. But you know, where's the truth? You know, has any of the board here, have you ever gone yourselves to see for your own eyes, to witness this? You know, I've been roping horses since I was 15 years old. And I used to come back with my hands burnt from the rope. You know, my uncles, my grandfather were hard on me. You know, they told us, you know, handle this with care. If you burn your hands, oh well. You know, that's where I grew up. I grew up learning, knowing how to handle that horse nicely. To not hurt the animals. Because that horse that we rope is my next saddle horse. Could be your next saddle horse. Could be your granddaughter's, your grandson's horse. You know, that's the way I was taught. And that's the way I've seen. You know, we grew up handling these horses with care. You know, and that's the way I teach my kids the same way. You know, but this video, it is misleading. And, you know, there's so much truth out there that's not being brought forward. You know, and my question to you is, why? I guess my answer to that would be is because there's nothing done wrong. You know, and also this bill is also another step, is one of their first steps to going and getting rid of more stuff that we, as human beings, as people, enjoy doing. This is one of the first steps. So what do we do?
Hey, thank you very much for your testimony. Is there any questions to this panel? Thank you very much for taking the time to come down and present to us. D. Miller, Glenn Shelley, and Jerry Rayburn. And then next up is Rob Miller and Dave Aiken. David Aiken?
He does not.
Yeah, that's okay. Whichever you wants to go first and identify yourself, please.
Well, I guess I can go first. Okay, Chairman Barker and committee members, my name is Jerry Rayburn, and I'm from the Jordan Valley Rodeo Board, and appreciate you hearing us. Our hope would be that you would oppose the so-called horse-tripping bill
But being realistic, and after seeing what happened to us on the Senate side, we ask that you at least not pass it without the amendment. During the Senate testimony, we heard many untruths and situations that did not apply to us. First of all, what we do is not horse tripping. It is horse roping with a 20-foot loop. And Glenn is going to demonstrate that pretty quick. It takes extremely skilled ropers to make a qualifying run with that size loop. The horse first has to be roped around the neck and brought under control before the front feet can be roped. Both feet have to be roped so as not to cause injury. Any intentional tripping would not only mean immediate disqualification, but the contestant could also be banned from competing at our rodeo for at least 3 years or maybe more, depending on the infraction. Of 90 teams that rope, usually less than 10 will make a qualifying run. Any mistreatment of the stock will cause immediate disqualification. And I'd like to give you just a brief history of our rodeo in the Big Loop. We have had rodeos in Jordan Valley for a very long time. I have a video of a rodeo that was taken even before the rodeo grounds were built. And I have pictures of rodeos and horse roping from the late 40s. These rodeos were kind of off and on, again, depending on who's willing to put one on. In 1959, to celebrate the Oregon Centennial, the present structure of our rodeo board was established and has produced a rodeo every year since, except for 2011, when we had the horse encephalitis outbreak. Even though this is an economic setback for the community, we canceled due to our concern for all horses gathering in one area. After the rodeo in 1961, the Jordan Valley Rodeo Board decided to have an event that would make Jordan Valley Rodeo unique. Thus, the Big Loop was added in 1962. The Big Loop concept came from a few ranchers from Mahier and Harney County arguing about which county had the biggest haystacks and swung the biggest loops. The only way they could settle that was to have a Big Loop contest. They held this contest for 3 or 4 years, beginning in 1956, and alternated it between Burns and Vail. And your very own Denny Jones and his partner won the first 2 years. Everybody remembers Denny. It has been the highly skilled rodeo event that has put Jordan Valley on the map and has drawn thousands of spectators through the years from all parts of the United States and other countries. We have been written up in the Western Horseman magazine, as well as other publications, so we are quite well known throughout the United States. And we have a book on the history of the Jordan Valley Big Loop Rodeo that has been shipped all over the U.S. and Canada. We have had tens of thousands of people witness it from all walks of life and have never had complaints like we had this year from an edited video. We think it only be fair for you to witness it in person before you make a judgment. That's the rules. Another appeal I would like to make is from the economic side, and our mayor also mentioned it, but I'd like to just go over it real quickly again. And I'd hope you not only can be concerned about the economic issues of small towns like Jordan Valley, not only is the rodeo a boost for the businesses there, but also for the volunteer groups, service organizations, schools and churches, List Lions Club, High School, Booster Club, Catholic Church, Ambulance Service, EMTs, Methodist Church, the Heritage Museum, Volunteer Fire Department, 4-H Clubs, Malheur County Sheriff and Rescue. And our trade show has become a Western must-see event that benefits several of our local artists as well as many from other parts of the West. Our rodeo brings us together as a community to put on one of the best events in the area. Since the Big Loop horses are raised and rented from the Duck Valley Indian Reservation, it also affects many Paiute Shoshone people who supply horses for the event. Also, does it make sense to you that anyone would supply horses if they were injured as portrayed by our opposition? We as the Jordan Valley Rodeo Board members do not receive any personal compensation for our time. It is quite the opposite. We do it for our community,
and we take pride in what we have accomplished over the years. And again, we ask that you at least witness our event in person before you pass judgment on us. Respectfully submitted, Jerry Raven from the Jordan Miller Rodeo Board. Thank you for hearing us.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Dee Miller, born and raised on a ranch in Jordan Valley, Oregon. My three brothers serve on the board with these gentlemen. I am now a Eugene resident, proud of it, love it over here, love the weather, love not having the snow blowing down my back. What these guys do in Jordan Valley is hard work every day. So I am here to read a letter written by a rodeo board member, Wanny McKenzie, that could not attend. He had a hired man get bucked off, and he's in the hospital, so Wanny is home taking care of cows. Says, good afternoon, committee members. I am Wanny McKenzie, a 38-year member of the Jordan Valley Rodeo Board. I would like to talk to you about the rules that we have in place for our horse roping and explain why I am opposed to SB 835. I have a set of those rules here. You each have a page of those. I will read those when I get done with this letter. We have many rules and regulations in place to protect the welfare of all the animals used in our rodeo. We have three field judges in the arena at all times. I am one of them. And a barrier which gives the animals a head start. If you break this barrier, you are giving a 15-second penalty, wherein is in other rodeo events, the penalties are only 5 to 10 seconds. Rubber on saddle horns is not allowed, again, to keep the animals from harm. You must catch the animals around the neck and the two front feet. Any other catch will be disqualified. When the ropes come tight, the time is stopped. Stock must be standing up. When the ropes come tight, must be standing. When the ropes come tight, stock must not be handled roughly at any time, and ropers will be disqualified if, in the opinion of the field judges, they have intentionally done so. Any stock injury will result in immediate disqualification. The rules were designed to protect the animals at all times. These big loop horses arrive 2 days in advance of the rodeo. Nobody's been around those rodeo grounds all year. It's full of lush grounds. The horses are turned out. They're allowed to graze around the outside of the arena. They see the crowds. They see the cars going by. They get accustomed to the arena. When they run the horses three times before the rodeos even start. So when those horses come out of the chute, they know exactly where that gate is at the other end of the arena, and they're headed towards that gate. They want out, and they're going fast. The majority of ropers have had enough stockmanship skills to handle the animals in a way that will not cause harm. And over the years, there has been a minimum of times that the field judges have stepped in. As the runs occur, the field judges are in the arena advising and helping protect the animals. At the rodeo, we have a veterinarian on the grounds at all times. We feel that the cowboys that come to Jordan Valley Rodeo are some of the best stockmen and horsemen in the rodeo ranching communities. Most of the people that compete here are employees or ranchers themselves, and many have attended a beef quality assurance seminar and or other livestock handling seminars. For example, I have been to numerous horse handling seminars as well as two Temple Grandin seminars on livestock handling. Temple Grandin is a world-known consultant to the livestock industry on animal behavior and promotes how to handle livestock in a safe and humane way. She has published several books and movies on the subject. Also, on our ranch, we've become GAP-4 certified. This is a global animal practice rating that is only given out to ranchers that qualify for their standards. For decades, Great Basin buckaroos, Indians, and cowboys have been roping horses by the front legs as a necessary part of the ranch work. It is a highly skilled activity performed in all of Oregon's high desert Great Basin counties. Because horse roping is a skilled activity, those hardworking Eastern Oregons get together in a community ranch rodeos to test and perfect their horse roping skills. The rodeos are important community activities in such places as Jordan Valley, Paisley, Halfway, Burns, McDermott, and others. Try to attend one or more of these Eastern Oregon ranch rodeos if you can. You'll see for yourself the men and women who perform these activities as a part of their ranch work. This is our heritage, and therefore I am strongly opposed SP 835. I would like you to all come and visit us at our rodeo and also to come visit us on our ranches to see how hard we work at being good stewards of our livestock, wildlife, and our lands. Wani McKenzie, rancher, Jordan Valley, Oregon. This is the Big Loop rules. There should be two timekeepers and two field judges.
If I could, yes. We appreciate that. If you just give that to staff, they can.
I already did.
Okay, we'll get it.
Everybody
then.
Has it. Okay, perfect.
So we can get everybody.
Okay.
That came from a long distance, have a chance to talk. Okay, please go ahead. Thank you very much for allowing that.
Mr. Chair Barker and committees of the committee, my name is Glenn Shelley. I am a ranch manager from Rattlesnake Creek Ranch in Burns. As I came in the doors this morning packing my 75-foot Riata, a young man came up to me and said, "Are you for real?" Well, yes, I am for real. I am a cowboy, I am a buckaroo, and I am proud to be able to rope a horse. I am a ranch rodeo stock contract producer. I put on from 10 to 15 rodeos a year where we rope from 100 to 200 head of horses at each one of these rodeos. So do your math. We're looking at a bunch of horses. In the last 5 years, I have only seen one horse injured during that time. And that horse was not injured during the roping. It was injured while the horse was being brought in. While on the ranch, I have to brand, castrate, and respond to any medical conditions of my horses. They are first roped around the neck to control the horse, then roped by the front legs. Then we take the horse, grab the horse by the tail, and lay this horse down. Because it's done easier, that horse isn't spilled and tipped upside down. We lay the horse down by grabbing him by the tail and laying him down. Then we're able to brand or castrate. I have been involved in two large horse studies done with vaccine for horses where over 300 head of horses have been run through a metal device called a chute to administer drawing blood on these horses. There was numerous injuries on those horses because these horses are untamed and untrained and was not set up to do that. Where you rope the horse and get the horse control and rope him by the front legs and lay him down is much easier on the horse than traumatizing him by putting him into the chute. I seen that, and there was a veterinary present, and we was able to administer what we need to do to fix those horses. Now, in the last 15 years, I have taken in unwanted horses not suitable for riding or breaking and put into my rodeo string for bucking and for roping. I am a fourth generation person that's dealt with horses. My great-grandfather owned a livery stable. My father had horses on the racetrack, and as a kid, I helped start those horses, and some of those horses went just down the street to Portland Meadows. I am a horse lover, not someone that is barbaric that I have seen on the social media. With me today, I have brought a 75-foot Riata. This is one of the ropes that is used in the Big Loop contest. And the reason I brought this, for two reasons. One, just to give you an idea of how big a 20-foot rope measured is. Now, if you will look at that, If I had my choice, I'd brought my horse today and I would have demonstrated how to rope a horse, but I couldn't do that. But what I can do is show you the size of a 20-foot loop. It was mentioned earlier, the percentage of horses that are caught during the big loop, and with that, you can see all that coiled up, what it takes to rope a horse and the percentage of a horse getting roped. Another reason that a rawhide riata, which is made of cowhide that is braided by four strands, is used is it is weaker than a normal nylon rope. If that horse is roped and is not done properly and is misused, that $500 rope will break. So that's why a lot of people use the rawhide riatas, because of the humane act that it does on the horses. Okay, these horses that I own are my livelihood. I have to protect my interest. I am a judge or a flagger at all of my horse ropings. I am very strict on the contestants that rope. If there is any misuse of those horses, those guys are what are called flagged out or disqualified. And I've had some guys that I will not let come back into the arena because I will not put up with the way they handle a horse. And most of them are people that don't know how to do it and haven't been practiced and haven't been to the big loop to learn how to do this. Now, in these events that I put on, there's a stock charge that every team member pays for these horses. With that stock charge money, I am able to buy grass and pasture and grain. If Senate Bill 825 passes, that money will not be coming in for me to support those horses. And I hate to say it, but I will not have the money to feed those horses, and those 50 to 100 head of horses will be going to Canada for slaughter. Now, I am one of many stock contractors that I have visited with that are in the same position. They have feed costs and they have things, medical costs with those horses, and if this money is not coming in, they don't have a choice but to send those horses to slaughter. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there any questions to this panel? Thank you, panel. I really appreciate you coming down to give us the testimony. See, Rob Miller, Dave Aiken, and Jim Williams, please. Thank you. Go ahead and start in any order and identify yourself. And please remember, we're trying to get, we got a lot of people stuff going. There we go.
Chairman Barker and committee, my name is Jim Williams, and I'm here speaking for the Cambry Rodeo at the Clackamas County Fair. I can keep mine rather short. The fair itself has been going over 100 years. Our rodeo is over 50 years old. And we are pretty main economic contributor in the county. We have 150,000 plus attendees each year. And feel the bill as stated, even though, like Doug Corey has mentioned, Dr. Corey said, the PRC, which we are a member of, does not have horse roping. But we sort of feel that this could be, this bill's like stated like this, is sort of the camel's nose under the tent. And so we see the unintended consequences, how people could interpret the way it's written. So we would be along with opposing the bill, or at least modifying it. That is that we look at these animals as valuable pieces of horse flesh. They cost a lot of money. Dr. Corey makes his living off of them, and so we can't afford to mistreat them. And the RCA, like Dr. Corey mentioned, has many rules and regulations, penalties, disqualifications. I myself have seen some ropings where somebody has mistreated their
calf horse, their weather horse, other contestants throw with their finger in their chest saying, we can't do that. So the thing that we look at is that the horses we use are valuable to us. Some of the bucking horses, and Dr. Corey can confirm this, are, when they sell them at sale, are over $50,000 a piece. The other one, too, is like this bill would look like putting a bill together that say that Jack Roush and Rick Hendricks would have to put oil in the motors of their NASCAR cars. I mean, it goes without saying that this is what we do. And then I'll close with it. Happened to be an article in today's paper, Cowboy Day. Let the record show rock-solid support for cowboys in the Oregon legislature. With nary a no vote, the Senate approved a resolution urging support for naming the fourth Saturday in July as National Day of the Cowboy. It already rode through the House unanimously. Cowboy deserves special recognition, blah, blah, blah. So I found it rather interesting. We got one bill trying to restrict the cowboy, and then you folks, rightly so, recognize them as the National Day of the Cowboy. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Aiken.
Chairman Barker, representatives on this committee, I've submitted written testimony for your consideration. I'd like to take my time to make oral comment. I wish to raise an unpleasant specter, cultural warfare. When our Eastern Oregon citizens appeared at the Senate hearing, the chair of that august body, Senator Dingfelder, got up and walked out. No, I'll read your comments. No, excuse me, I'll be back shortly. Nothing. And throughout their testimony, after they had come 400 miles, Senator Haas typed on his computer without any eye contact whatsoever. There were only two senators in the hearing after Senator Dingfelder left. Only two. I reviewed those voting for this legislation in the Senate. They haven't ever been to a ranch rodeo, I suspect. No matter. Never been to a working ranch. No matter. We west of the mountains make more money. Or not. We west of the mountains are better educated. Or not. We west of the mountains know what's best for everybody in the state. East of the mountains, west of the mountains. Or not. Or not. We are going to tell hardworking Christian ranch men and women, ranch families who are a living, working continuum of our pioneer Oregon heritage and cowboy buckaroo history, how to treat their precious horses and how to conduct their lives. They work 10, 12, 14 hours a day, every day, but occasionally get together in community events called ranch rodeos, community events which allow competent people to get together to practice their skills. You'd be surprised how few horses are actually roped. This is a highly skilled activity. They raise money for various community activities, telling them you can rodeo and how they can rope horses, they don't trip them, is patronizing, it's condescending, and it's paternalistic. We who are west of the mountains need to leave these people alone to what they do best, raising our food, and not to presume that we know better than our Eastern Oregon families who do what needs to be done every day on our Eastern Oregon ranches. We need not to micromanage. We need not to second guess. Dare I say it? Something about minding one's own business? Further, this bill is silly. You can rodeo, and you can rope horses in the way we tell you. We know you need to tell our Eastern Oregon citizens how and what to do. This is silly legislation. It should be labeled a silly bill. With due respect to the upper house, might I suggest that they were mistaken and perhaps did not fully understand what they voted on. Senator Dingfelder certainly didn't. She could not be bothered to even listen to ask questions of the testimony.
Mr. Chair, sorry, I have to interrupt this. I think it's inappropriate to criticize a member of the other chamber or of this chamber. Thank you.
Yeah, if you could not criticize, I'd appreciate your...
I'm winding it up. Thank you, Representative Tomei, who is my representative, and I am one of your constituents who voted for you.
Thank you.
The specific title deals with roping horses but doesn't define what rodeo is. There's no definition of rodeo. You and I think we know what rodeo is, but it's not defined. I don't know. There's no definition in the bill. What's the purpose and meaning of the bill? Those who advocate the bill purportedly are well-meaning people who took a look at scant evidence, exercised their athletic ability, and jumped to a conclusion. They are the self-anointed, self-appointed, seldom mistaken, and seldom right. We continue to repeat horse tripping, horse tripping. You know, German propaganda minister Goebbels said if you repeat a lie often enough, people will begin to think it's true. Is that melodramatic? I don't think so. Our Eastern Oregon citizens rope horses. They have roped horses since pioneer times, and they rope horses today. They don't trip them. And yet we continue to use that erroneous and facetious title. Furthermore, to borrow a term from the Republicans, this is a nanny bill. We tell people through a nanny bill how they ought to be behaving. And if I may say to my fellow Democrats, the Oregon Democratic Party does not need to be associated with this nanny bill, I respectfully submit. Please vote no.
Thank you very much for your testimony. And some of the reason we've lost some members today, they have other meetings they had to attend.
Well, so obviously, I was concerned about it with the Senate side.
Yeah, I just want to go out. Thank you very much for your testimony. Any questions? Thank you. Again, appreciate it. I'm going to call Senator Hansel up, please.
Mr. Chair, I just want to state that I have another committee and I leave in a couple of minutes, and it's not because I'm not interested in this issue.
Yeah, thank you.
Chair, while we're on the subject, Representative Garrett and I also have another committee at 3.
Okay,
so
right.
Do I.
And we will be called, we're going to, many of us have other committees at 3, so we need to proceed quickly. We're going to write that for quickly. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Bill Hansel, Senator, District 29, one of the co-sponsors of the bill, as you see. Senator Hass and I worked on this bill in the Senate, trying to bring together a couple of areas of concern that I certainly had when I, a rodeo is a very important part of District 29, the home of the world-famous Pendleton Roundup, and you have, I know, a letter from them that was brought forward today by President Tim Hawkins. We, in the Senate, we agreed as we put the two parts of the bill together, kind of a gentleman's agreement between Senator Hass and I, that we would, he would not try to amend my part of the bill, I would not try to amend his part of the bill. And that we would certainly be open to whatever the House wanted to do by way of amendments. And I know that you have a lot of dash amendments. Representative Bob Jensen, I believe, testified earlier. The reason I wasn't able to come earlier is that we're on the same sub of Ways and Means, and with Senator Johnson on the phone, I was needed there for a quorum in order to vote on the Senate side of that committee. So I know he has come and testified. There are some dash amendments that are available for your consideration. I believe that his support was on dash 7. I think Senator Hass's support is dash 8. So the deliberations continue. And I'm here to answer any questions anybody might have, but that's a little bit of the background and history, and thank you for the opportunity.
Any questions for Senator? Thank you, Senator. Okay, I called Jane Miller, who's from Klamath Falls.
Unless anybody else is from far away.
And is there anybody else that's from far away that hasn't testified yet? Okay, thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity to communicate with you about this particular bill. I am 100% for this bill. I'm a cattle rancher's daughter, grew up in 7,000 acres.
Could you identify yourself by name for the record?
Oh, Jane Miller.
Thank you, Ms. Miller.
Cattle rancher's daughter, I grew up in 7,000 acres in Klamath Falls, Oregon. I'm still ranching today. I train horses today. My brother was president of Pendleton Flour Mills. He's now CEO of United Grain. We're vested here in Oregon. True economy does not come from animal abuse of any kind. Regrettably, our rodeo history in the United States is a bit harsh on the animals. So whatever we can do to preserve that history and sustain less abusive practices to the animals, we must look at this. This is why I support this bill. If you have to trip a horse or put it in a position of being tripped by roping it, you are at fault for having never cared for that animal that you believe is so valuable well enough to bond with it, train it. You can bond with horses. That's how I train them. You can give me the worst case scenario, and I can make that horse safe and sound, and you're not going to get bucked off or abused, and you don't need to use a rope to catch it. You walk up to it and catch it. I know this because I used to have to go out and get the horses in the open range for the family. That was my job. And it is difficult to catch a horse that doesn't like you. It's not difficult to catch a horse you have trained and bonded with, and they trust you because they've never been abused. Animals that end up in the rodeo circuit are there not because they're bad animals. They're not born bad. They're there because they were not trained. They were not valued as a living being and trained as a, people didn't invest, they didn't see them as valuable, so they didn't treat them as valuable. So I'm not saying let's damage the rodeo history or our economics from the rodeo. I'm asking that we back this bill because it offers a more humane perspective at preserving the rodeo history and making it something that is safe for all parties involved, including the horses. If you have to rope that horse around the neck, that horse shouldn't be out there. We made a mistake somewhere along the line with that horse. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to have to close this hearing today. We're going to repost it for Monday the 13th if anybody else needs to testify. I apologize, but we're just out of time today. We're going to have to quickly open a Senate hearing on Senate Bill 812.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 812 allows only one motion to disqualify a judge in a judicial district with three or fewer circuit court judges, declares emergency effective on passage. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Judge Pope and Tom Branford. Judge Branford, please. Yes, please. Both judges, please. Judge Branford and Judge Pope. Why don't you go ahead and start? Maybe he's in the overflow room. Be up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and ladies and gentlemen of the committee. I should first explain my attire and apologize for
it. Identify yourself, too, for the record.
Milo Pope.
Thank you.
Senior Judge, Baker County. There is a garment bag containing the suit, the shirt, and a very nice silk tie hanging beside my closet in Baker City.
How does that happen, Somerset?
I am opposed to Senate Bill 812, the so-called judge shopping bill. I served as a circuit judge in Baker and Grant counties for 12 years, and I served in other counties around the state from time to time. I never experienced judge shopping. What I do know is that a judiciary that appears and is impartial is of critical importance. The people must believe that our system is impartial. To tinker with Chapter 14 of the revised statutes because there's a judge shopping problem in Lincoln County is ill-advised. There isn't such a problem in my county or any other county I ever served in. And if you restrict disqualifications of judges to one in small counties and you permit two in large counties, you have to explain to me how that is fair and how that makes sense. I have submitted a one-page gizmo, and I'd like to read one paragraph. I have pointed out in the preceding paragraph that you as legislators are permitted to advocate for your own interests and values. Judges, on the other hand, must bring complete impartiality to the task. Public confidence in our judicial system depends first upon the belief that facts may be established and the law implied impartially, period. To assure public confidence, a reasonable belief must remain a basis for judge disqualification, is what I meant to say. And to change it from 2 to 1 in small counties doesn't make any sense. Makes no sense at all. It's unnecessary. If I know you're running out of time, I had a wonderful story I wanted to tell you, but I will pass.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Judge, you want to come on up, please?
Here. Too.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Tom.
Judge Polk.
Good to see you.
I'm sorry, I'm out of uniform.
Wait, Judge, would you, sorry, Judge Pope, would you mind staying? I just, for questions.
Sure. Thank you. And then go ahead, please, go ahead. Go ahead, and we're just about out of time, so we need. Anyway, I'd like to
very quick
complete this one.
Thank
today.
You, Chair of the Committee. All of you, thank you for considering this. There are 22 judges who have supported this from the small districts in Oregon. The fact that there's 22 people from Astoria, Tillamook, Newport, Corvallis, Dallas, Prineville, John Day, Lakeview, Ontario, LeGrand, and Enterprise speaks to the breadth of support from the judges for this bill. The statute has been badly abused. We think this would help it. We all think it's important that there be challenges so that people can believe that the court proceedings are fair, but the two challenges in the small districts are just manipulated in a way that's unfair to the public. And I don't want to take too much time, so. If I sent a letter on April 18th, and I don't know if each of you got one, but it explains in more detail all of the myriad of reasons will we favor this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Good question. Judge Pope, I'll ask you a question off the record later. I heard a story growing up, something involving when you first ran for judge. It was supposed to be Pope for judge, and the signs went wrong, so it ended up saying Milo for Pope. I've heard this story. I want to know. But actually, I do have a serious question for Judge Branch. And by the way, welcome, Judge. It's nice
Thanks.
To see you here. I have mixed feelings about this bill. On one hand, you know where I was trained.
Sure.
I've been taught to never, ever affidavit a judge. That's just something you deal with. Good lawyers deal with judges, and it shouldn't matter who the judge is. If you're a good lawyer, you're going to be respected by the judge. That's just how I've been trained. So I've never affidavited a judge. So having said that, is there a problem in Lincoln County? Is this, there are only 3 judges there, so you could see, what are we actually trying to fix?
Well, in our county with 3 judges,
right.
it's judge shopping. If somebody could use 2 challenges, there, and again, you haven't used a challenge, and frankly, most lawyers haven't, but there's a select few who do, and they use it widely, and what they do is try to get to the third judge they think is most would be most favorable to their case, and it was used widely in our county for years, and obviously has been elsewhere, or these other judges wouldn't be supporting this. It's used very tactically. I mean, and just if I can, this example, there's a letter in this file that was from a week ago today. The defendant challenged both 2 judges, can't hear my case. But now the same defendant wants a judge to approve a hardship permit so he can get his driver's license back. Oh, no, Judge, it's okay. You can handle that. Here's the letter. You know, you can handle that, Judge. You can be fair on getting my license back for me, but you can't be fair handling my case. It's that sort of thing. It's just so tactically used.
May I ask a follow-up, please?
Yeah.
I can ask it off the record.
Okay, that would, because I've got it. We have one other bill we can move today.
No problem.
Okay, thank you.
Is William Barton your father?
Yes, Judge.
Say hello to him for
I'll
me.
I'll do that, please.
Okay, thank you for your testimony.
If you could
thank you.
And I'm going to close the public hearing. We'll roll the rest of it over till Monday as well and open a quick hearing on Senate Bill 709.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The committee will remember Senate Bill 709. It's exactly the same as House Bill 3201 that committee passed earlier this session. It went and passed on the House floor. This is the exact same bill. We have people to testify, but they don't need to. If that's okay. Sufficient.
Okay. In a work session on Senate Bill 709.
Yes, sir.
Why are we doing?
What? It's broken the works. We're going to move it. They want to move the Senate bill.
Senate bill instead of the House one.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same as the House. Go ahead.
Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 709 to the floor if it do pass.
Representative Krieger moves Senate Bill 709 to the floor if it do pass. Is there any?
Just for the record, I want to establish that this is exactly the same as the one that we've already passed, right?
Verbatim. Yes, and I went through it today. Great. And looked at line by line, and everything's exactly the same.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
As the amended version.
We have a motion to move the floor, the bill to the floor if it do pass. Is there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. I'll carry the bill. And we will go ahead and adjourn for today.
Thank you.
Thank you for sticking around.
Thank you for the patience.
We did carry these.
Yes. We